Hey everyone, I was working on another episode. This is the second year in a row that I've attempted to release a documentary episode about the Germanic goddess who lends her name to Easter. I believe her name is Eostra or Ostara, depends on the variant. And I ran out of time once again. I don't know if I should release it next week or if the kind of Easter magic will be over by that time and no one will be in the mood for it. But anyway, I happened to stumble upon a story about a religious-themed horror movie I recently saw. It's the movie Immaculate, starring Sydney Sweeney. And it's funny, I didn't even really know who Sydney Sweeney was until maybe a couple of months ago. She's been around for a while. She's been in a number of TV shows, including Euphoria, which seems to be really popular with younger audiences, but I've personally never seen it. I think she first showed up on my radar, so to speak, because of that movie Madame Web, which I also saw, and yes, it really was as bad as people were saying. But strangely, I think the movie became kind of a hot topic because of just how bad it was, and that helped get Sydney Sweeney's name out there even more. And yet, probably because she was only in a supporting role, I don't think she really caught as much flack from being in it as, say, the lead, who I think is Dakota Johnson. And then something strange happened a few weeks ago after hosting SNL. Sydney Sweeney or her anatomy kind of became politicized. So we're all probably aware of this whole culture war, woke versus anti-woke thing. And if you're not familiar with the terminology, quote-unquote woke, which I think used to have a positive connotation in certain circles on the left, especially in the African-American community where I think it originated, it has now come to be kind of wielded as a pejorative by some on the right or the really kind of anti-political correctness types or crowd who view political correctness or identity politics as having gone too far. I'm admittedly a left-leaning guy, but in general, I try to stay out of the whole woke versus anti-woke thing, except on rare occasion, and maybe this is one of those, I guess, we'll see. But anyway, as I was saying, Sydney Sweeney hosted SNL, and she wore an outfit or dress during her monologue that, revealed her cleavage. She's known for being naturally busty. And she even made a joke about her chest, and she also did a skit where she played a Hooters waitress, and the gag was everyone was trying to figure out why she was making so much more in tips compared to the other relatively smaller chested waitresses. And I'm trying to talk about all this without seeming like too much of a perv. But anyway, on social media, you had some on the left complaining that she was being sexualized and about how much of the humor was focused on her chest. And then you had some on the right, or the anti-woke types, going as far as crediting Sydney Sweeney for ending wokeness with her cleavage. Whether or not that was meant half-jokingly, I don't know. I hope so, but you know how it goes. Certain stories start trending, and then other content creators start running with it, and suddenly everyone's talking about it. So you had videos and posts about Sydney Sweeney's boobs. Did I just say boobs? Yeah, you did. Supposedly ending wokeness all over social media and YouTube. So kind of odd, to put it mildly, this young woman's chest was being politicized. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that Sydney Sweeney herself isn't even that political, although I think she does come from a conservative Christian family that she's still close with, which some on Twitter have given her crap for, which I think is unfair. And there's a reason why I'm talking about all this. Supposedly now, and I don't know how widespread it is, but some people on the more conservative side, specifically conservative Christians, I imagine, are now turning on her because they consider her new movie, Immaculate, to be blasphemous or anti-Christian. But I ran into the article I alluded to on a site called Indie 100. I'm not really familiar with it. I looked it up, and I think it's either one and the same with the British outlet, The Independent, or it's a kind of subsidiary or spin-off. But embedded in the article is a now-deleted tweet. So I'm just gonna read a tiny bit from the article and then the actual tweet. So here it goes. The film focuses on a pregnant American nun, played by Sweeney, who joins a convent in Italy, but soon has her world turned upside down when she discovers some disturbing secrets lurking in her new home. The movie opened last weekend, and one aghast review has since gone viral. An ex-Twitter user named @AuroraFaced, who has since deleted their account, wrote, and here's the actual tweet, "Libs saw how the anti-woke crowd embraced Sydney Sweeney as their new darling, and right away had to shove her in this blasphemous, satanic, feminist, pro-abortion, anti-life movie degrading Christians. This movie also debases Mary, Mother of Christ. Don't bother watching." And there's one more sentence I'll read from the article. "Deciding that this is exactly the kind of reaction a horror film needs, Neon Immaculate's production company not only shared the tweet, they put it on a shirt." And apparently they did put it on a shirt. And I'll include an image in the YouTube version. I imagine it was probably one of those print-on-demand deals. But anyway, does this person have any idea how long it takes to make a movie? In fact, there's an interesting story behind this film. Sydney Sweeney, who is, I think, only 26, first auditioned for this film back in 2014, but the film ran into all sorts of production issues and kept getting delayed or got stuck in quote-unquote production hell, no pun intended, as they put it. Satanic movie, get it? But anyway, so Sydney Sweeney, after finding monetary success working on the aforementioned TV show Euphoria, actually bought the rights to the film herself, and her production company was involved in the film's making. So the idea that woke Hollywood snatched Sydney Sweeney away from the anti-woke crowd and stuffed her in this satanic movie overnight is ridiculous. This is a movie she's been wanting to make for about a decade. And it's interesting, I was reading that supposedly the director changed up the story a bit. Originally, it involved a group of high school girls instead of nuns. Not sure how that would have went. I'm kind of imagining Mean Girls meets Rosemary's Baby. But do I think the movie's satanic? I don't. But I could see how if you're a Christian, you might find it deeply offensive. But if you really think about the plot, it's not necessarily anti-Christian. It's more that Sweeney's character is the target of a church conspiracy that's mostly relegated to this specific convent. I don't think the movie is necessarily trying to denounce Christianity as a whole. And religious-themed horror movies are nothing new. This is a phenomenon that goes at least as far back as the 60s. Because it deals with a convent and nuns and takes place in Italy, it made me think of a specific genre from around the 1970s referred to as nunsploitation. The sleazy kind of European horror or exploitation flicks, but those were usually borderline pornographic, unlike this film, which really doesn't have any sexual content, if you were wondering. It does get pretty gruesome at points, though. But just a warning, big spoilers ahead, so if you don't want the movie ruined for you, best to probably stop listening or watching now if you haven't already. Is anyone listening to this thing? Hopefully. Anyway, it stars Sydney Sweeney, as already touched on in that article, as a young nun who's been assigned to a convent in Italy where dying nuns in their last days are cared for, and she's kind of a fish out of water, she can barely speak any Italian, and I should probably mention that an important part of the character's backstory is that when she was little, she had supposedly had this kind of miraculous near-death experience where she had drowned in an icy lake, I think, and had been dead for about 7 minutes before coming back to life or being brought back to life. And I think they say that this had deepened her faith or drawn her closer to faith or religion, and it'll come into play again later on. So one day she finds herself basically being interrogated by the priest serving at the convent, a bishop or cardinal, I think, and there's older nuns in the room as well. They're asking her if she's ever had sex, etc. And she hasn't. Her character's a virgin. And then they eventually tell her she's pregnant. And I imagine this is why the movie's called Immaculate, as in Immaculate Conception. And so this is where the plot starts to get pretty wild. The convent is in possession of a relic. It's supposedly one of the nails used to crucify Christ. And the priest working in the convent used to be a geneticist. Maybe you can tell where this is going. And it turns out this priest has been attempting for about 20 years to successfully artificially inseminate or impregnate someone using what they believe to be the DNA of Christ salvaged from the crucifixion nail. So they basically impregnated Sidney Sweeney's character without her knowledge or consent. And she discovers a file in a drawer in the convent, and it appears that she was chosen in part because of the seemingly miraculous experience she had as a child. And it's not just the strange plan to clone Christ, a lot of alliteration in this episode, that's off with this convent. She also discovers that nuns have been tortured, mutilated, and branded. She sees a nun she knows get her tongue cut out. So she makes an attempt to escape by faking a miscarriage using a bloody chicken carcass, I think. And she's found out, unfortunately. They take her back. And this isn't one of those watered-down Blum or Blumhouse movies that's like PG-13. There's people getting their faces smashed in and everything. But she ends up trying to escape again via the catacombs under the convent. The priest, who by this point she's already set on fire once, continues coming after her, and he tries to cut the baby out of her womb as a last-ditch effort to salvage his experiment, but she ends up killing him by stabbing him in the neck with the aforementioned crucifixion nail, and she's pretty much in labor. Am I sick for laughing at this stuff? Maybe it's nervous laughter. Go with that. But she's pretty much in labor now, and she finally manages to exit the catacombs, and she's kind of on this grassy cliff. And I have to admit that even I, kind of a hardcore horror fan, was a little shocked by the ending. I thought maybe the movie would end with her on the run with the baby, driving off in a car to go raise him somewhere, and maybe they'd hint whether or not it was really the Messiah. But once again, major spoiler, ultimate spoiler, she gives birth screaming, but you don't really see the baby. She bites the umbilical cord off with her teeth, and then she picks up this big-ass rock with both hands, and I'm like, whoa, wait, where the hell are they going with this? And in the distance behind her, you can kind of see the baby. You can tell something's horribly wrong. Its proportions aren't really right, like it's monstrously deformed. And maybe they intentionally leave room for a little bit of doubt, because the camera's looking up at her when she throws the stone down and the screen goes black, so you don't actually see it land on this newborn monstrosity, but it seems implied that that's most likely what happened. But who knows, you know, maybe she couldn't go through with it and actually threw the rock to the side and there'll be a sequel where they join the circus or solve crimes together like a buddy cop movie. Kidding, obviously. But I imagine that's what the guy meant in that deleted tweet when he characterized it as pro-abortion or anti-life. I think that's a bit of a stretch. It's a disturbing horror movie. I don't think it was necessarily trying to send a pro-choice message. Not that I'd care either way. I don't really turn to horror movies for ethical instruction. And I think they also complained it was feminist. And me personally, I don't really care if there's social messaging in my entertainment. It might even be a good thing in some cases. I always thought Star Trek, for instance, did a pretty good job of conveying humanist messaging in its plot. As you know, as long as it's not forced or awkwardly shoehorned in, or they're not hitting you over the head so hard with the messaging that takes you out of what you're watching. I don't know if they're simply calling it feminist because it has a strong female protagonist that overcomes a harrowing situation. If that's the litmus test, then Alien with Sigourney Weaver, Kill Bill, you know, the Tomb Raider movies are all feminist, which maybe they are in a positive sense. You know, who cares? To be honest, when I'm watching a TV show or movie, I really don't care if the protagonist is male or female, as long as what I'm watching is entertaining and compelling. The only example I can think of in recent memory where I watched something where the messaging was so heavy-handed, I was like, really? I think it was that controversial Doctor Who episode where David Tennant, who fans absolutely love as the Doctor, came back and reprised his role. And Wow, it's pretty wild. So every doctor has a companion, and at the end of the episode, the doctor's former companion and her daughter, who is trans, kind of receive all the knowledge of all the doctors. And David Tennant is just there looking at them, you know, astonished. And I think he asks them a question, and they say something like, "A male-presenting doctor could never understand." And I'm like, really? Really, you took it that far? I'm a left-leaning guy. I'm with you on the messaging. Did you really have to dunk on this beloved character and turn fans against you? You couldn't just let the fact that the daughter's trans do the talking, you know? No, you had... I'm like, oh. It's like they shoot themselves in the foot. Why would you go that far? But Immaculate, do I think it was a great movie? I don't know. I think it was a good movie. I remember after I watched it, I left thinking, you know, it was pretty good. It was kind of up my alley. I'm into that, you know, the kind of religious theme horror movies and everything. But I noticed I keep thinking about it. It's kind of a thought-provoking movie. And the more I dwell on it, the kind of more my respect for it rises or builds. So to reiterate, it wasn't the greatest thing I've ever seen, but it was pretty good. It was thought-provoking. It kind of stays with you. And I almost forgot, I really loved the soundtrack or the score. It was very kind of haunting and ethereal. And there's a female musician I really love by the name of Chelsea Wolfe. And I could be wrong, but I could have sworn her music was used in the soundtrack. Not any songs of hers I've previously heard, but it really sounded like her. If it wasn't Chelsea Wolfe, it was someone who sounded a hell of a lot like her. I might actually look for that score soundtrack. But anyway, I think that will do it. I don't have a lot left to say. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. As you know, you can like the Facebook page, you can follow me on Twitter or X, even though I'm not on there much. You can check out the YouTube channel, maybe you're doing that now. If you'd like to help support what I do monetarily, which is always greatly appreciated, bills, bills, and more bills, you can go to patreon.com/theweekindoubt and help the show out for as little as 99 cents a month. All right, brothers and sisters, until next time.